If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and say, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gather us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enlighten our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes.
The Lord will cause his majestic voice to be heard, and you shall have gladness of heart.
Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth.
Restore us, O God, let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Turn again, O God of hope, look down from heaven and see.
Let your hand be on the man who right hand, the son of man whom you have made strong for yourself. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes.
The Lord will cause his majestic voice to be heard, and you shall have gladness of heart.
Voices calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, call out. Then he answered, what shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from Romans chapter 15, verse 1 through 13. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. For I say that Christ has become subject to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. Again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. Again, Isaiah says, there shall come a king, Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Spirit. May the peace and joy that we receive from Jesus Christ, who came for us at first advent, fill our hearts with joy in the forgiveness in his blood. Amen. Our text for today is the Old Testament lesson that you have printed out. I'm going to read it again. We'll be looking at different verses, but in preparation for that, this was originally, I was supposed to preach the first Sunday at the church here, so assume this is the first Sunday at the church, because Pastor Dick, the last minute, found out he needed to be gone, and so it is today, the second Sunday of the church. But at the end of the year is a time to look back at what we've done and to look what is there for us in this new year. And as we look at the new year and what is there for us, it is frightening. I jotted down some things like Pastor Dave as a preamble to the sermon. So, and the gospel lesson here today talks about the situation, the perplexity of nations, the sea roaring, the weather changing. Now, not the Green Deal. This isn't the Green Deal. This is God is in charge. And that's what he's telling us and what the last days are going to be like with the fightings, men's heart fainting from fear or what is happening in the world. So I jotted down a few things that I wouldn't forget. You know, Russia invaded Ukraine. China wants to invade Taiwan. Iran is bombing our bases and our ships through their terrorists they're paying for. Israel has been invaded by Hamas and hundreds, thousands of people butchered. Old, young, babies cut into pieces. In our colleges and country around us, demonstrations. But for Israel? No. For Hamas? For the butchers? Butchers, thousands around the world demonstrating for them. U.S. used to be a Christian nation. Remember that? The early states, nearly all of the earlier states, to be a senator or a representative, you know what? You had to be a Christian. That was a requirement to be a Christian. And now we have a Speaker of the House that said he is a professed Christian, and everybody gives him a bad time about that, and they have no time for us. We're living in a day today where the Bible is banned. Many school districts and library districts say that is a dangerous book and have banned it. The cross is banned. Prayer is banned. The Ten Commandments used to be in all the courthouses. They are now banned. We're having demonstrations of woke and critical race theory and transgender with the athletes and the ordination of homosexuals and then our border. If all of this doesn't scare you, if all of this doesn't make you tremble with fear, as our gospel lesson said, look at our border. How many? About 20,000 a week now coming across our border. One day this past week, there were 12,000. And within the last year, there were 2/3 of 1 million people got away. They snuck through. Besides all of these millions that are out here, and they're trying to register them and say, okay, go ahead, someone. But 2/3 of 1 million got away. Any of you remember 22 years ago? There were 19 people that kind of snuck into our country and overstayed their visas. and we had 9/11, you know, just tore up our nation. That was 19 people. Now when you look at 2/3 of a million people, we don't know how many of those were these terrorists that are here. And as I was thinking through these things this morning, then I picked up today's portal of prayer. And if you read that, kind of Lord said, hey, look here, Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. When the world is turning upside down, when everything seems to go wrong, when there are wars and rumors of more nations upsetting nations, be still and know that I am God. So that leads us to the message for today, for Advent. Be still and know that I am God. So with a world like that, a situation like that, the question is, what do we preach about in the new year? What do people need to hear? I think it's made very clear here in Isaiah. Things are bad today in Isaiah's day. So similar. Last time I preached, it was about Manasseh, the wicked king, who did repent, but also about Hezekiah, the good king, that had ruled and asked God for an extra 15 years, but during those 15 years, he got in trouble. He showed the Babylonians all the riches and treasures of the kingdom, which led to the Babylonian captivity. So at the time of Isaiah talking to us in these words for today, comfort, comfort my people, they were in captivity. Isaiah was about to lose his life. And if you remember when I preached last, told what happened under Manasseh's reign, that not just killed, his body was sawn in half. And as this was happening, they were in captivity. Here is Isaiah trying to bring some comfort. He's telling us what we need to preach. He says, what shall I cry? What shall I cry? So, I'll tell you what we're going to preach here at Trinity in Lebanon for the 90th year, if I counted right, going into Advent. We're going to start out with Advent about the coming of our Lord, the one who came for our sins, born into the world, took upon himself flesh, world that would not accept him. So Advent is a penitential sign. We, because of our sins, made Advent necessary. And that's why the purple color. Our world's trying to change that today. Even our church, even many Missouri Synod Lutheran churches don't want Advent to be filled with sorrow. They want it to be joy, royal, so blue. They want blue colors for Advent to take away. But Advent is a time of sorrow, to look at our sins that made it necessary for God to send his Son into a sinful world. So it's sorrow over our sins. And then will come Christmas, where the baby was born in Bethlehem, and a joyous time the angels sang, but still, it was a sad time that God's holy Son needed to lower himself to become a human and take our place under the law to fulfill the law that you and I could not fulfill. And then comes Epiphany, where find out even we who are Gentiles have a share of the kingdom. We too can have Jesus as our Messiah, as our Savior. And then following comes Lent, the suffering of our Savior, and the empty tomb where Jesus ascended into heaven. And as he ascended, said, I'm going to come back again. And so out through the church here, This is what the message is going to be. What shall I preach? He said in our text. He calls out to Mount Zion, what shall I preach? O Zion, thou bringest good tidings. It gets into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that brings good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength and say, Judah, behold your God. What shall I cry? Repentance. Repentance. That's what Advent is about. It's looking back at our lives the past year, and what do we see? I don't think any of us can really say, I have lived that life that Jesus wanted me to live. I have always been faithful in prayer. I've been faithful in witness. I've been faithful in helping everybody out here and there. I've been faithful in never missing church or Sunday school or any Bible studies. I have really been faithful. We cannot say that. At the end of the year and starting the new year, we look back and say, we goofed. We failed. We failed the Lord. But Isaiah tells us, okay, that's behind us now. It says, so you look ahead. Now Advent is looking at the coming of the Messiah and also the coming again. The one who came and died for us in Calvary is going to come back again. And that's what the gospel today we're talking about. The second coming, when you see these signs happening, then look up and lift up your hands because your redemption is drawing nigh. So what are we to preach? What shall I cry, Isaiah says? All flesh is grass. We're going to die. Make it very clear. We need to preach about sin and damnation. And that's not very popular. That's why so many churches today, they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. They might not come back to church again if I call them a sinner. So many preachers are afraid to preach about sin. Pastor Dave isn't. Thank the Lord. That's why I'm still a member here at Trinity. If I didn't hear the law and the gospel, there's no way I would be a member here at Trinity. But what we should cry is the wages of sin is death. That we have fallen short of the example that Jesus set for us to follow my example, he said. And after all these years of Trinity Lutheran Lebanon, Trinity is still preaching that all flesh is grass. We are condemned because of our sins. Because of our sins, we deserve death and damnation. So we are preaching repentance in a wicked time in the world. We've seen the wars. Now, I didn't see World War I, almost, but not quite. World War II, I saw, but World War I and II. But did you realize right now in the world there is no time in my life that we were closer to World War III than right now? If somebody, all these ships around in the Middle of the East, if somebody pushes the wrong button anywhere, it could be in any of these countries, we would be in World War III, which we cannot even imagine what that would be like. So that's why it's so important today to preach repentance. And repent to one, knock down our pride. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. That was in the text there, and John the Baptist preached this to level the ground for the coming of the Messiah. When the king was coming, remember they're going to clear up the roads. It wasn't the king coming to San Francisco, but finally I understand they cleaned up San Francisco for a while because some big money leaders were coming into town. But that's exactly what they did there. They knocked down the rough place and everything, cleaned up San Francisco, get all the homeless out of the way and the drunks and the needles and whatever, and prepare the way. But this is what the Lord is talking about that we need to do in our lives. is to knock down the pride and the rough parts of things that keep us from being a good witness for the Lord. That's what it's all about. The law must be preached before the gospel means anything. It doesn't do me any good to tell you your sins are forgiven if you don't think you're a sinner. So the first thing is to realize we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot walk one step up towards that pathway to heaven, but it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are saved. So we know that we have sinned and fallen short, and that's what we need to preach, the Ten Commandments. You know, most of the Ten Commandments you can break in America now and not be accountable. You know, you can steal, they mentioned this again, you can steal in California up to $975 before they'll arrest you. So does that mean the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal anything over $975? You know, this is what the world is doing with the Ten Commandments. And God doesn't see it that way. God says, you're guilty. You're guilty. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have not kept the commandments. We have failed to do what we want to do, failed to witness as often as we should have, failed in our life of prayer and study of the Word. But the good part that Isaiah has to sum is, has to sum up all of it, he starts out with it. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Two different times he repeats it in the midst of this terrible time in the world. He is to bring comfort, and that's what I am here for, to bring you and me comfort in the world today, that no matter what the world thinks they can do to us, no matter how far they think they can push us as Christians, no matter how far they can push the chosen race. Some of you saw Esther down at Branson. Esther there where they showed the order was to wipe out all the Jews. But that's what the order is today. That's what's going around the world. God's chosen nation. And God is not ready because God still wants his chosen nation to turn to him, to accept him as the Messiah and receive the gift of everlasting life. And that's the same promise that God has for you and for me, and he still has for Israel. Repent and turn to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. If the world is closing in on you, if your life is closing in on you, if you feel there's no light up ahead, look to Calvary. Look to Jesus. Listen to Isaiah saying that we have that hope, that forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God's Son, came into the world to save sinners. And my sins have been forgiven. In the new year, I don't have to look back and feel guilty about all the things that I failed to do, that I should have done, the things I did that I should not have done. I look back and see the cross. And I look forward and see the cross. Whatever happens in this new year, whatever happens in the world or in Trinity Lutheran or in your life or mine, we know that the Lord is there giving us that comfort and strength and forgiveness that he's saying to us again today. And I hope you read Psalm 46 very often because that's my very favorite psalm. Be still and know that I am God. Amen. Now may the joy that we have of forgiveness in the cross of Jesus hold us steadfast in the faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Could we have the offering brought forward while I prepare?
pray for the whole people of God and Christ and for all people according to their need. For the faithful proclamation of Christ's saving name, that God's people may be strengthened in true faith and his kingdom extended. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the whole church, the Christian church throughout the world, and for all who confess the name of Christ, that God would guard and defend us for the temptation of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Lord, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this congregation, its mission, and its people, for the disability to meet the needs that arise as we work, as we do the work God has given us to do, for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the educational institutions of our Senate, for our preschool, our day schools, our high schools, our colleges and universities, for our seminaries, and for those who teach and those who learn in them will be transformed by the wisdom of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who protect this day of Christ's holy body and blood, that in this eating and drinking that they may receive the benefits, forgiveness of sins and the newness of life, and have a foretaste of the feast to come, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Also want to include in our prayers, O Lord, for Glenn Tabor, Deborah Mark's father receiving chemo, for Larry Jacobson, his sister Vicki that passed away, for Zena Bean, for those receiving treatment, Bill Matthews, Dick Furkey, and Cheryl Friend Dina. Also, we want to include those that are homebound, Lord, that do not have an opportunity to come to the house and hear your word. Gene Perry, Sandy McCoy, Peggy Avery, Bill Riley, Jalen Peters, Brian Pendergast, and all the others that we mentioned in our heart. For all who serve in worthy occupations, professions, arts, and sciences, that God would grant them skill and integrity in the performance of their responsibilities and value service through the vocation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who are faithful, that the Spirit would lead them to the cheerful, generous giving from the bounty of the Lord provides to support the church and to help those in need. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right. It is
my thanks for the
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should in all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord. Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings that you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death, that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with the angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, King of begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your Son, John the Baptist, to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful heart we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident in his body and blood given to us to eat and drink. We receive the fullness, forgiveness of sin, and for so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he calls.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Given for you, this do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Amen.
strengthen us through the same faith toward you and your fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord looks upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Funeral home visitation is at noon. The funeral's at 1:00.